as the Zog Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with the Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, folks. Good morning. And man, what a weekend here in the Coach Dave house. Wow. As I said to some of the guys before I came on the queue, I didn't even step outside. I haven't stepped outside all till last night. I took our trash down to the road, and trash man comes today. Took the trash down to the road and picked up a pizza. Other than that, my wife and I have not. I had not stepped foot out of the house. Something jumped on me, man. Oh man. Oh man. And it's still on my wife. And she slept all day yesterday. And so I just praise the Lord that we're able to be here this morning. And I believe in healing. I believe in that God could take that cold away. I believe that He could. But I don't even want to get going on that one, because where's your faith, brother? Right out of Babel, go and lay hands on my wife and have that cold leave her. Oh, ye of little faith, the scriptures tell us. So we're excited to be here today. And man, kind of opened a can of worms on, I'm looking through the book of Acts. I just got to say this before I get too far. I got a challenge for you. You ready? You want to know why church is dead? You want to know why people are leaving the churches in droves? You want to know why yesterday when I was sitting around here in my house and I wasn't feeling very well and I was looking for just some encouragement, my wife said, put Pastor Lankford on. Find Pastor Lankford and put him on. Just some word. I was down and she was down, and the NCAA tournament wasn't making me healthy. And my wife said, put Pastor Lankford on. And she put Pastor Lankford on, and I kind of stumbled around, did whatever. You know what's missing in the church? You get in the book of Acts. I'm giving you a challenge right now. You want your faith to grow? You really want to grow? You get in the book of Acts, and you underline every time they mention the Holy Ghost. You'll run out of ink. You will not have enough ink in your pen when you underline every time the Holy Ghost is mentioned. The Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is missing in our churches, boys. The Holy Ghost is missing in our lives. And one of the reasons, I just got to get this off my chest. I got Pastor Mike Spaulding in here with us. We're glad to have Pastor Mike. I hope Pastor Wayne is going to be able to jump in here with us as well. Pastor Tim, anybody out there calls themselves a pastor, I want you to know something. I'm for pastors. I'm not against them. I'm for the real ones. I'm against the fake ones. I can't make that more honest. And the truth be told, I often paint with a broad brush and criticize, hate to use that term, criticize the church. You paint with a broad brush, you get paint all over everybody, don't you? There are a lot of good pastors out there, a lot of good ones. And Pastor Mike Spaulding is one. We're going to let him come in here. We're going to talk about some of these things. But I want to touch on something that I see, guys. This is undeniable or undeniable. It's undeniable that churches have more people going out the back door than they have coming in the front door. They can brag all they want to about all their baptisms and how many people are coming to Christ in their church. The truth is, they're emptying right out the back door. Or whichever door. They're coming in one door and they're leaving right out the other just fast. And then the real problem is the mega churches that we see, these big mega churches. The mega churches aren't new converts. Come on, folks. They're not new converts. They've emptied all the little churches. That's what's gone on. Because people are chasing after the flesh. They're chasing after things that will appeal to their flesh. And we go seeking after the Holy Spirit, not that the Holy Spirit would convict us, or not that the Holy Spirit would change our lives, or not the Holy Spirit would draw us closer to truth. We chase after the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I'm talking to the right people. We go to this church because, oh, they dance in the spirit and they sing in the spirit. And, oh, I feel so good when I go there. And, oh, I'm going to go there because I'm believing for a miracle in my life. And, oh, I'm going to go there because the Lord's going to touch me. And, oh, Lord, I'm going to be there. And the Lord's going to bless my business. And all. See, the part of the problem is the Holy Spirit. Listen to me now. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit, when he comes to you, one thing the Holy Spirit's going to let you know is you ain't very important. You understand that? That's what the Holy Spirit's going to let you know. The Holy Spirit's going to be the opposite of what you're finding in most spirit-filled churches. No, no. The Holy Spirit's going to draw you into untruth. I'm sorry, my brain's a little mixed up. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is not in our churches. And because it's not in our churches, it's not in the people. We want the Holy Spirit to come in and come alongside of us and supplement our desire to live fleshly lives. Somebody say amen. Thumbs up's an amen. Just so I know I'm speaking to the right people. So therefore, there's no power in the church. There's no power. So I'm sitting there yesterday, and my wife wants to turn on Pastor Langford, which is a good thing. Go ahead, honey, sweetie, do it. I thought, well, I'm going to. There's a lot. You know, there's live services on Facebook. Excuse me, live streaming of church services. I went through about 10 of those things yesterday, and I was more sick after I watched some of them than when I started. Lord, help us here. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to talk about. I know a lot of great pastors. I know a lot of them. I do. You don't know them because they ain't tickling your flesh. They're good flesh ticklers. If they say stuff that you got those itching ears, and so you're going out and you're looking for an ear scratcher, well, you'll find yourself one. But what we end up with, those ear scratchers, they give us shallow believers. We had a dog one time. Name was Tucker. Wrong name. I've had a lot of dogs. Raider. And Raider used to get these ear infections. And he'd be sitting around. I got to pull my microphone back here a little bit. Do you guys ever have a dog who do this? He'd lay over in the corner and he'd start on his ear. And he'd start scratching. And after a while, he'd go. The more he scratched his ear, either made him feel better or made him feel worse. I don't know, but he liked scratching that ear. That's the church, see? So when the ear scratching doesn't really elicit what it's supposed to elicit, then people leave churches. I was sharing with Pastor Mike before we went on the air. I was sharing with the crew, actually. I hear from people who love Jesus, but they can't swallow church. So then I come across guys who say, well, Coach, you got to be in a local church. You got to be in a local church. That's the way God set things up. Well, okay, I agree with that. Tell me one to go to. Tell me one. Show me one in my church. I'm sorry. Show me one here in my community that looks like anything that you would see in the book of Acts. Show me one. I'll be glad to go there. In fact, if you look in the books of Acts, they were in houses. Well, I don't want to get bogged down on that because we've moved into a church age, I guess, whatever we'd call it, where we now see that everybody goes to a building, and the church has become a building rather than a living organism. And I want to do this real quickly. I got a series of things I want to before I bring Pastor Mike in. We're not going to beat up on Pastor Mike today. He's one of the good guys. We want to encourage Pastor Mike. But I got something I want to show you. Hey, Jared, it's do the worship, Jared. It says worship laugh. 5 minutes.
Hey, this is a...
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, while Jared's getting that up, I would just like to say that I think I mentioned this one time earlier last year, but I was mowing the lawn one day and the Lord just spoke to me and I heard him very clearly. He said, you know, Larry, there's a whole lot of churches that claim to be spirit-filled. He said, I just want you to know that if they are not first led by my spirit, then it's not my spirit filling that church.
That's right, brother. Which spirit, right, Larry? Which spirit? Huh? It's like people say, God bless America. God bless America. I say, yeah, which God? That matters, doesn't it? That matters. You think Allah's going to bless America? Is that what we're praying? Hindu? Buddha? Which God? God bless America. Which God? So I want to start things off on a light note today. Here's one of the things I see. This to me is worship. And, oh, I could just go on that one, Pastor Mike. Worship. What the heck that means, huh? What's this? This is a parody on church worship. Go ahead and play that, Jaron.
I will sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
Sorry, that's a bit sinister to start out with, but unfortunately, Big Rich, there's a lot of truth in that one, isn't there, brother? Isn't there a lot? See, here's the point that I'm going to come to you here in just a second, Pastor Mike. Hey, Pastor Wayne, if you're out there listening, jump in here on the call-in number. We would like to get you involved in this as well. It's 843-957-8180. I'll give it to you again. If you're watching, you can see it on the screen. 843-957-8180. Here's the point I'm trying to get at, I guess. There's a behavior or a spirit of God. There's some spirit that's in the church that isn't of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's a transforming power. And, you know, we talk about victory over sin. We talk about I felt the Holy Spirit, all that stuff. Let me tell you guys, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. It guides you into all truth. One of the problems that I have regularly watching churches is I sense falsehood. I sense a false doctrine. I sense fake religion. I sense what we just saw there. And it's an emotionalism that does not carry on outside the four walls of the church. So I'm not here to criticize anybody, any of the good pastors out there that I know, and I know many of them that are fighting a good fight. I tip my cap to you. God bless you. Keep it up. But, boy, there are a lot of them that sure aren't. Pastor Mike Spaulding is just up the road, hour and a half from me here in Lima, Ohio. And Pastor Mike's one of the good guys. In fact, he's going to be one of the speakers at Hear the Watchman down in Dallas, which, hey, I heard my wife. She's up. Wow. Hey, honey. Gee. He's going to be one of the speakers at Hear the Watchman. All of you guys, a lot of you here in the queue are going to be able to meet Pastor Mike down there. In fact, he came to one of our boot camps. I've been up to, he had me up to speak at his church, and he's doing a lot of great stuff. Got a radio, station. I mean, great stuff going on up there in Lima, Ohio, through Pastor Mike Spaulding. Pastor Mike, thanks for joining us here this morning. And I don't know if you can, Pastor, unpack what it is that I said on Friday and what's kind of some of your reactions were to what you see going on in the local church. Got to mute yourself, Pastor. Unmute yourself there. At the top, there should be a little microphone. You tap on that, and then you'll come alive. Hang on there, buddy. We'll help you find it.
How about now?
There you are. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having me on, Coach. I appreciate
By the way, Mike was on Hagman and Hagman. He been all over the place the last couple of weeks, so God bless you, Mike.
Yeah, I joke about that, Coach, because it's like Pastor Mike and Doug Hagman in the same sentence, or Pastor Mike and John B. Wells in the same sentence. What's going on here?
It's good, brother. It's all good.
Well, it's I told Mike Kerr the other day, I said, here's what the deal is. God puts his faithful servants in front of the people that they need to be in front of, so the message can get out. Because don't we live in a day when we need to get the true gospel out there, and we need to direct people. Those that you were talking about, Coach, I call them the duns, D-O-N-E-S, duns. Mm. They're just done with church.
There's a lot of them, Mike.
There's a bunch of them. And you're spot on in your analysis. These mega churches, the reason why the mega churches spend so much time, effort, finances, trying to raise their profile in the communities in which they operate is because they've got just as many people going out the back door as they've got coming in the front door. So if they're going to keep up the mortgage payments on all these multi-million dollar campuses and keep all these different ministries, which is a head scratcher to begin with, what the church has to be doing with some of these things is beyond me. But if they're going to keep all that afloat, well, they've got to keep a steady stream of money coming in. So that's what's going on there. And that's not a criticism. It's just a statement of fact. And I recall being on and then I'll get into some of the things I wanted to share, Coach, but I recall being on a television program here locally, probably 20 years ago now. And it was the last time I went on this show, because in the green, and the show was all of it was pastors. It was, the name of it was Ask the Pastor. And so, community pastors would get on and they would answer questions that people would send in. But in the green room prior to the, taping of the show, I'm listening to a group of pastors talk about nothing but money and some of the gimmicks and the tricks that they were using. And I say tricks, and that's exactly what I mean, to get people to give and continue to finance these outlandish projects. And I made a vow before the Lord, I'll never be on this program again. And until they get real pastors on here that are going to talk about what people need to hear. So, like I said, it's been over 20 years. Haven't been back on yet.
So, Pastor Mike, let me clarify something real quick, Pastor Mike, because sure. You won't say this. Pastor Mike's bivocational. He doesn't earn his living as pastor at his church. Boy, that tells you something, doesn't it, folks? Huh? And Pastor Mike, I got in an argument on Facebook yesterday because some guy was telling me, you know, how much outreach his church does. And I said, yes or no, is the biggest part of your budget salaries and expenses of your church? Well, we know that is, right? We know it is. It's the professional Christians. And I'm not saying, Pastor Mike, you don't deserve a salary. Of course you do. But the fact that you bivocational means the church doesn't really own you, do they, Pastor Mike? You're a lot more independent because you're not counting on them to feed your family.
Yep.
Makes a difference.
I remind them that often.
Amen. Pastor Bill Dunphy, who I consider my pastor, same way. He runs a construction business and he's a part-time pastor, although there ain't no part-time pastor in either, is there, Mike?
No, there's no such thing. And I gently correct people when they say that. They said, oh, so, you're bivocational, you work a job, so you're just pastoring part-time. And I said, there's nothing part-time about being a pastor.
Amen, amen.
That's for sure. But
what's happened, Mike? Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. What's happened there?
I was on listening, I think it was Friday, and it was good stuff as always, Coach. In fact, just for folks that are those that are in the queue, they already know this, likely. But those that might be listening live, Coach's program is on our radio station on the weekends. So you can go to WTTPFM.com and check out the schedule, and you can catch Coach's programs on Saturdays and Sundays, firing up the troops.
What's the website again? What's the website again, Mike?
It's WTTPFM.com.
TTPFM.com.
Yeah, we chose that those call letters when we got our station license from the FCC. We chose WTTP to stand for Witnessing the Transforming Power, Witnessing the Transforming Power of God. So we want to put Bible teachers on there that are going to cut to the quick and just teach the gospel, encourage people to follow Jesus, because we're way past the time when we need to be playing around. And that's what's going on for the most part. And
how about that, folks? How about that? His church purchased a radio station. How about that? And played 24 hours a day. Good stuff that is blessing the community. And as he said, it's available on the World Wide Web as all. Also, you can log in and listen to it. But see, that's great use of resources right there, see. And yeah. I know Pastor Mike, he kind of selects who he's going to have on there. He doesn't receive a bunch of money. You know, he doesn't get $500 a show to put on Alistair Begg or whatever. He selects who's going to be on there. And has that's a noble effort, Pastor Mike. We salute you on that. I keep interrupting. It's one of my worst traits.
No.
Sorry.
No. I appreciate that, Coach. It's good to get the awareness of the station out there because they're going to hear good Bible teaching. And we are a Bible teaching station, by the way. 24/7, Monday through Friday, is nothing but Bible teachers. It's not music. Now, we do play some music on the weekends, 3 or 4 hours on Saturday and 3 or 4 hours on Sunday. But Sunday, especially, we have a lot of good apologetics teachers, apologetics ministries, theology programs, discernment ministries. So we really try to give a well-rounded schedule for people. If they'll tune in for just, what's that old saying? I heard on one of these Christian music stations, give us a week and we'll change your life. And I said, well, listen, here's one thing's going to change your life, and it ain't music.
It ain't music. That's right.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we got one around here. We got one around here that advertises Safe for the Whole Family. Oh, there you go. Give me that station.
You know something? I stole a phrase from Dr. Michael Heiser. About 2 years ago, we were having a conversation, and he made a statement. I said, Mike, I'm telling you right now, I'm stealing that, and I'm going to use it, and I'll give you proper attribution for it. But here's the statement. Pastors, any pastors listening, ministry leaders, elders, deacons, it is not your job to protect people from their Bible. Let the Bible say what it says.
Amen.
And people's lives will be changed. You'll be shocked at the change in people if you'll just preach the Word of God and its undistilled power.
Amen.
And people will be changed. So,
you know, let me throw one more out there, Pastor, because there's another great radio station I was thinking of, and their big slogan is uplifting and encouraging.
I know what you're talking about.
Now, thank God for uplifting and encouraging, brother. But if that's the whole purpose of Christianity is to uplift and encourage us, that would explain why we're in the mess that we're in, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, speaking of musing, I'll say this, and then I'll get on with some comments. But people can check my blog site, Coach. It's Dr. Mike Spaulding, drmikespaulding.com, drmikespaulding.com, and search for an article that I wrote. It's entitled "What Is the Purpose of Music in Christian Worship?" What is the purpose of music in Christian worship? Because I addressed that very issue that you played that little satirical bit there.
Yeah.
And I had to laugh. I'd seen that before, by the way, but it still makes me laugh every time I say it. But the reason that it's funny is because it's true.
That's exactly
how a lot of people. Now, they'll never admit that. They'll never admit it.
No. And their intentions are good, Pastor Mike. It's what they've been taught, though, right? That's what they've been taught the purpose of church is.
Correct.
Uplifting and encouraging.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So let's distinguish, though, between the apostate church and the remnant church, because I'm always quick to point that out, because people will take offense and when they misunderstand or don't understand what you're saying. And you mentioned this, Coach. It's easy to paint with a broad brushstroke sometimes. That's not our intention. That's not what we're trying to say, but that's how it's received. People take it that way.
Yep.
And so I try to distinguish between the apostate church and the remnant church, and the difference there, folks, for me is this: the organized visible church, these mega churches in most instances, not all, again, I don't want to paint with a broad brushstroke, but for the most part, the visible organized, what we used to call mainstream churches, are in full-blown apostasy, Coach. They're in full-blown apostasy. Now, the reason why the remnant doesn't hear anything about people like Pastor Bill down there where you're at and other faithful pastors is because the mainstream Christian media operates in a very similar fashion to our secular mainstream media. They only report on people, issues, churches, that reverberate in their echo chamber. So people like me and you and Pastor Bill and others, we're shut out from that. So we don't get that same press, that same headlines. But listen, the remnant is not ever going to fit into that mold. You mentioned Acts chapter 2. That's a great place. If you want to understand the simplicity of the church and what it should be all about, then I direct people's attention to Acts chapter 2, and especially I think it's verse 42.
I'm looking at it right now, Pastor Mike. Jared, if you could pull that up there, Acts 2, start with verse 37, Jared, if you can. Acts 2:37.
Yeah, because then you're going to catch the power behind it all.
Yes, sir. That's right. That's pretty important. That's pretty important part, isn't it, Pastor Mike?
Well, without the Holy Spirit, we're just playing games, man.
So let me read this, Pastor Mike, and then you can take off and go on the way you were, okay? Verse 37, Jared. Thank you, buddy. Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Hey, boys, how about repenting and being baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Remember I said in Acts, underline Holy Ghost every time you see it. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and it continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. Hey, Rich, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that were believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had said, the original socialists. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There it is, boys. The simplicity of it, huh, Mike?
Yeah, so circle those three things there, folks, in verse 42 that Coach read there. Circle these three things. And you want to talk about the simplicity of the fellowship, the local fellowship. It doesn't get any simpler than this. The church should focus on the teaching of the scriptures, the Bible. It should focus on building community among the believers.
Breaking of bread.
Yep. And to fellowship and to prayer. Now, prayer is one of those things that folks say, well, that's just for my own personal quiet time, or maybe with my spouse, we'll have our quiet time in prayer. No, the church should be characterized by prayer. Prayer, Coach, is like a pipeline to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it really,
I use electrical wires, Mike. It's like plugging into the socket.
Yes, that's exactly right. Exactly right. And the importance of the Holy Spirit, first of all, it is the basis for us even being part of the body of Christ. Now, that seems like a duh statement to your listeners, Coach, but it doesn't to many in the professing church today, because the Holy Spirit's not taught. The agency, the work of the Holy Spirit in individual believers is what empowers us for ministry. That's why we go out into the world and minister to the heathen, to the lost, share the gospel with them, because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability, the power, and the equipping to do exactly that. If you go out there and try to do it without it, the enemy's going to slap you down in a heartbeat.
Pastor Mike, I just got to say this, because the Holy Spirit said it to me three times while you were speaking there. I don't know how many of you saw Tommy Lahren, the girls on the Blaze, this 22-year-old sensation who's, she's Miss Conservative, she's everywhere, she's the next Megyn Kelly, whatever. Well, on The View on Friday, she came out and she said that she was pro-choice. And the reason she was pro-choice was because, well, the Constitution shouldn't be in people's bodies. She said, the Constitution, I don't want the government messing with my guns, and I don't want the government messing with my bodies. And you know, Pastor Mike, from the day I started watching her, I knew in my knower she didn't have the Holy Spirit. I knew she didn't have. See, folks, listen, this is so critical to understand. Conservatism is pretend salt. It looks just like the gospel. It smells just like it, but it's not the main. It is not the gospel. And so she was exposed. How can she, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, hey, guys and girls, if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, I'm going to tell you something. You'd never kill a baby, ever. You would never, ever, ever kill a baby.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know and need to say about her. Turn your discerner loose, and it'll guide you into all truth. Go ahead, Pastor Mike. I had to get that in there.
Yeah. Well, not only that, Coach, but the Constitution has nothing to do with whether or not we should be murdering
right.
unborn children. Well, what's that have to do with anything?
That's right. And if you are, by the way, if you are a constitutionalist, right, you're a constitutionalist, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, number one, life, come on here. Come
right.
on. It's before guns.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The stuff we fall for, huh?
Yes, that's exactly right.
She'll find her way onto Fox News. She'll fit in good there.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And she'll be applauded and pointed to as a,
yep.
as a
she's,
model for, yeah.
Well, she's a leg crosser. She looks good. She fits the role. Put some big old fat woman on there with no teeth. Nobody listened to her.
Yeah. You're right. Well,
I know I am.
we're in battle mode. Coach, as the remnant body, that's nothing. It's not a news flash for you or your listeners and for the brigade or anybody else, but it is for the apostate church. They don't get it. They think we're supposed to accommodate, compromise, and go along to get along. And it's time for the remnant body to really get loud and to step up and step out. And not be afraid. Don't blink. Don't be fearful. Christ himself said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, that's not the organized visible apostate church. That's the remnant church. That's the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, and Pastor Mike, so what would you say? By the way, anybody can jump in here. I don't want to dominate this thing. What would you say, Pastor Mike, to the thousands? I know there are thousands of people out there listening to us right now who say, I agree with you, Pastor Mike. There ain't no churches in my neighborhood. There ain't no churches around here. And I think they're probably right. What would you suggest to them, Pastor Mike?
I would suggest to them, then start one. And I speak from experience, Coach. God has used my wife, Kathy, and I, and he has, over the last 20 years, put people in our face, and we've been blessed and honored to plant two churches now. One in St. Mary's, you know where St. Mary's is at?
Yep.
About 30 miles south of where I'm at now. We planted one there in 1998. We were there for 4.5 years, and the Lord moved us on to Chicago for a year. We came back, and we had some folks approach us about planting a church in Lima. And so we had a season of prayer about that, and the Lord led us to do it. Here's why we did it, Coach, because there aren't any churches in the area that are teaching the truth. Here's what makes a good church. Write these down, folks. Here's what makes a good church. You have to have a right understanding of the Bible. You have to believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that it's inspired verbally, that it's inspired. And the fancy theological word here is the plenary inspiration. That means all 66 books and every word is the inspired word of God. So if you're at a place and they're not teaching the Bible, or they're giving a hat tip to it, or they'll maybe read a verse and then the pastor goes off on 20 minutes about what he did on his vacation, you need to get out of there. Run out of there like your hair's on fire. Get out of that place. Find some like-minded believers that honor the word of God as the inspired word of God by the Holy Spirit. You have to have a right understanding of the Father. You have to have a right understanding of the Son, right understanding of the Holy Spirit. You have to have a right understanding of salvation. What does that mean? Churches don't even teach salvation today.
Amen. Not
they
don't really.
Even teach repentance.
No, they don't. And,
well, is it any wonder then that churches are full of unconverted goats?
Amen.
You know what? Goats will hang around as long as you give them goat food.
If you keep feeding them. Yep.
You keep feeding them goat food, they'll hang around. And they'll keep writing those checks every week, too.
Yes, sir.
You start feeding them sheep food, which is the word of God, and you see how fast they thin out.
Yeah, it's a little harder.
You'll be left with committed remnant believers that are actually going to do the work of God in your communities. That's what's needed today, Coach. And I'll let some other folks jump in here. I don't want to monopolize it either.
We got a phone call. I see Larry's about busting his hand there trying to get my attention. Who we got on there, Larry?
Yeah, I lost my little red sign thing. This is Tim.
Tim, good early morning, Tim.
Well, I got one thing to say, and that is I can remember years ago in the 80s, my denomination at our yearly meeting with all the pastors brought in a couple of guys from IBM, and they taught what is church growth with all the principles of IBM. And I was so mad that I said, the moment you take the Holy Spirit out of how to run a church and allow a corporation to come in and use their guidelines on how to market the church, we've now walked away. So
why do you think that happened, Tim? Why would the church turn to business? I mean, I think I know the answer, but from a pastor's perspective, Why would pastors go out and get? Why would I go to find the owner of Kroger's or Kentucky Fried Chicken to teach me how to spread the gospel?
Because they don't trust in the Holy Spirit to guide the pastors, to guide the people. They just walked away from that power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God of evangelism, Matthew 28.
So unbelievable.
This pastor you got on is great. I'm really enjoying him.
Well, he's one of the real guys, and you got the Holy Spirit, and then you recognize the whole truth, Tim. And as you know, Mike, Tim is in Oregon, former pastor. He'd been through the grinder. He'd been through the meat grinder. What would you say right now, Pastor Mike? What would you say to discouraged former pastors that are listening to us today? Because I'll tell you, they're out there too, brother.
Yeah.
Or even this. Hey, this is an even better one, Pastor Mike. To discouraged current pastors who are trapped in this broken church model and don't know what to do because their retirement and, you know, we all got to eat, right, brother? We all got to eat. What would you say to them, Mike?
Yeah, those are great questions. Here's where I would start. For those that have just walked away, burned out, just said, you know what, I can't keep doing this. For those that are sitting on the sidelines now, I know that the Spirit of God lives in you. I know that the Spirit of God is ministering to you. He's comforting you. But I also believe that the Spirit of God, God the Father, is not done with you. There's a reason that he placed a calling on your life. Now, some things went sideways on you, no doubt. That's why you're sitting on the sidelines. But here's what I would encourage those folks to do, Coach, is to begin to teach a small home Bible study. Just invite some family, maybe some friends, and start teaching a home Bible study. And just allow the Lord to move and to work in your heart, and he'll lead you back into a place of ministry. In fact, a home Bible study is ministry.
That's right, Pastor. They don't have to start a church. Let the church happen.
Correct. And that's how it should be. Honestly, that's how it should be. In fact, when we started in St. Mary's, we planted the church there, Coach. We started meeting at a campground, in the mess hall at a campground, sort of like the boot camp that you had down there that I was honored to be a part of. And we would go, and they used it for wedding receptions. So we would go in there on Sunday mornings and sweep up all the beer cans and move the beer kegs out of the way, and then we had church.
Wow.
That's how it
started. In other words, you went to where the lost were, huh, Mike?
Correct. That's exactly right.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? See, Jesus gave us a go ye gospel, and we turned it into a come ye. If they want to be fed, they got to come in. They got to come in and get it rather than us taking us out. Let's go real quickly, Jared. Then I'm going to open the queue up here a little bit. Jared, let's go to this quick little video. It says, what's the church's purpose? This is only 3 minutes, but this is very, very succinct, and it's really good. What is the purpose of the local church? Now, remember, hey, get the building out of your head. Get the building out of your head. The local church, the local called out remnant. Get that building out of your head. What's the purpose of the local Christians? How about we try that? Go ahead.
Churches are full of people. The broken, the lonely, the wanderers, the hopeful, the enthusiastic, the lost, the passionate, and the faithful. For many, this gathering represents the whole of their church experience. They'll listen attentively to a message, they'll sing a few songs, they'll be invited to pray, and then they'll return to their lives. But for some, questions will start bubbling to the surface of their faith. Is this the extent of what Jesus intended for his followers? Who is the church for? Why does the world need the church? And what is the church after all? Well, the church isn't the building where people attend weekly services. It's not a program, a list of rules, or a philosophy. The church isn't a political affiliation, a country club, or a holiday tradition. The church was never intended to be just an assembly of people wearing nice clothes and saying nice things. The church is all the followers of Jesus everywhere. The Greek word for church is the word ekklesia. It's the combination of two words, ek, which means out, and kaleo, meaning called. Thus, the church, the ekklesia, means the called out ones. In other words, the church, the collective body of all the followers of Jesus everywhere, is called out by someone for something, for a purpose. The beginning of the book of Acts has Jesus calling his disciples to a task, bringing something called the gospel, the good news, to all the world. And this gospel would go out to all the outsiders, the forgotten, the abandoned, and the excluded. And they, those outsiders, would see and receive that good news as actually good. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it was always in conjunction with something else, something called the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, God's purposes are made apparent. There's justice and righteousness. There's hope for the poor and for the oppressed. And under the kingdom of God, mercy and forgiveness take precedence over bitterness and resentment. Now, people previously deemed to be far from God are brought into his family, adopted as his sons and daughters. And the fullness of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is not merely expressed as a way for people to escape an evil world when they die. Rather, the good news of God's kingdom is about the announcement of God's eternity, moving into the present world and carrying on into the life to come. The people who belong to Jesus join him in his worldwide restoration project. And the called out ones, the church, are committed to advancing this good news of God's kingdom into the world, not as a means of helping people avoid the world, but rather to see God's kingdom life being made real here and now. The whole church, with the power of the whole gospel for the whole world.
Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. Pretty good.
So that nails it.
Yeah, we've lost the perspective, see, because we've made church the church. We've lost the perspective. And then the other aspect of it we lost that Rich and I go round and round with others about, Mike, is the idea of judgment. Who are you to judge? That whole idea. The church has absolutely dropped the ball in regards to judgment. I was in a debate yesterday with a guy on Facebook, and he's telling me all the great missions work that his church does. And floods and Guatemala and Baba all down through all the things that are going on. I said, I just asked him, what about your local abortion clinic? No response. Didn't have anything to say in regards to that. What about the homosexuality being ministered in your schools? Well, they didn't seem to have anything budgeted for that. Why has that happened to us, Mike? Why has the church become so mercy-focused and so non-prophetic?
Well, get your pens out again, folks, because as Coach encouraged you to do already this morning, when you're reading through the book of Acts, every time you come across the Holy Spirit, make sure you underline it. Now, here's what's going on, Coach. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is our Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples. It says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Thank you, Lord.
And you shall be my witnesses." Now, notice the first place that we're to be witnesses: in Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, that's the city in which you live in. What kind of a witness is it if you're jumping to Guatemala, but you're not even witnessing to the lost sinners, the apostates, the heathens and pagans in the very city that you live in? Something's not in order there.
How are you going to transform your city by going to Guatemala?
You're not. Now, it'll make you feel good about yourself. I call that virtual morality. It'll give you warm
virtual morality. That's a good one.
Yeah, it'll make you feel good about yourself, and it gives you all these talking points about what a wonderful church we have. But I've got a strong feeling, Coach, that based on the scriptures, that rings hollow with the Lord. You've got an abortion mill murdering, offering your sons and daughters to Moloch. And you're too busy worrying about Guatemala. No, that's upside down.
Hey, yeah. Dave.
Yes, sir.
The simplicity of it is there is no persecution in mercy ministry. That's why they go there.
That's exactly right. It's very, very easy. You feel good, and so does everybody else. And they say, that Pastor Mike, he has got the most loving church. Those people are always out taking care of the needy. They're always doing all these wonderful things. We always seem there. In fact, Pastor Mike comes, and he prays before the football games. He loves those boys so much. Yet Pastor Mike's butt will never get to the school board and confront the school board about what's going on in the school. That's the point I'm making, right, Rich? As soon as he starts sticking his nose in the school's business, now all those same people who loved the bread he was giving out are ticked off because he's telling them what they ought to be doing and shouldn't be doing, and they don't want to hear that one, right, Pastor Mike?
Well, what it really boils down to, Coach, is all of those people that attend, they have friends or family members that are teachers, And now you're associating the righteousness of God with them, and they're going to run and hide like a bunch of cockroaches.
Amen. And so the one thing Jesus told us, he said, you always have the poor. He said, you'll have the poor always, right? Hey, guys, we'll never, ever have enough money to feed the poor. Ever. We'll never, ever be able. It's always going to be there. But we have the power to rebuke sin. We have the power to stand up for truth and speak the truth that others' lives might be converted and others' lives might be changed. And the old adage that people like to use, say, well, if you feed a man, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. If you straighten out a man's life, you impact the whole family. If you teach a man to be a man and do what's right and he trains his children, you train a whole lineage of people. See, the importance of teaching them the fear and the admonition of the Lord and the ways of the Lord is far more important than giving them a hamburger.
Hey, Coach.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, you are so spot on what you're covering. God blesses his true people, his true children. And he has so many times in the Bible to tell us to be really careful with what we do with those blessings. Let's let that Holy Spirit tell us what to do with those blessings instead of making our own plans and going out and giving all of God's blessings back to Satan. I don't think I'm really happy when we do that.
No, but Larry, it's a pattern. It's, listen, folks, the way we do church is the pattern of the world. The world has molded the church into how the church is supposed to operate and what the church is supposed to do. Again, in the conversation I got in with a guy yesterday on Facebook, I was asking him, he was talking about all the good things that their church does. And I said, okay, help me out here. Why is the church trusting the government to feed the poor? Why is the church doing that? Isn't the church supposed to be feeding the poor? Why do we have that one backwards? Well, they don't want to go there, see, because it hinders some of the other feel-good ministries they'd have to do. If the church just simply took responsibility for the people within its own community, we would not be nearly in the mess that we're in. And as I said, if we train up a family member, JR, I'm trying to think of Natural Family Foundation. If we train up people how to be a family, look what's going on in the black community. 70% of them don't even have daddies. No daddies. How do you run a world with no daddies? Are they, hey, Pastor Mike, do you suppose they're talking about that in the black church? You suppose they are? Suppose those black pastors are talking about fatherhood and the importance of it and family and personal responsibility?
A few of them are, Coach, but not nearly enough, obviously, or they would not be experiencing that sad epidemic.
How about this one, white boy? When's the last time you went to church and your pastor stood up there and told everybody in there, if you're not having children, you're in violation of the laws of God. If you are of childbearing age, and you are preventing yourself from having children, you are in violation of the law of God. Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Sex isn't about pleasure. It's about the creative process that God put into place. When's the last sermon you heard from your pastor telling young people, get married and have babies? Or does he say, get a good education? Go get yourself a good education. Get yourself financially set and then begin to have children and then limit it maybe at two or maybe three. What's the message you're hearing coming from the pulpit in regards to that one, boys and girls?
Yeah, listen, folks, we don't need more barns. Jesus warned about building barns.
Yes, right. We don't need barns. Go ahead, George.
Barns.
Hey, Pastor Mike, I have a question for you. So, I mean, it is heartbreaking what's going on with the apostate church. What do you have any sort of prediction when the apostate church is going to crash and burn? I mean, where it'll be like a mass exodus and this nonsense will end?
Actually, and thanks, that's a great question. I think the apostate church is going to blow right through the rapture, head right into the tribulation period, and is going to be part of the one world religion. Mystery Babylon is going to meld right in. Listen, I've said this many times from the pulpit. on the day, and I don't want to open up a can of worms on the rapture. I know what I believe about it, and you can believe what you want to believe.
And we're still friends no matter what, brother. We're still friends
no matter what. That's exactly right. Because I'll tell you, I was right on our way up. But anyway, I think there's going to be churches. I think there's going to be churches where the pastor is going to be standing behind the pulpit, and he's going to be doing whatever he does, and everybody's going to be sitting there listening. And when that service ends, then they're going to walk out of church and find out the rapture happened.
They won't even know it, huh?
They won't even know it because the Spirit ain't there to begin with.
Right.
So to answer your question, brother, I think the apostate church, as it is today, is just going to keep picking up steam. It's going to continue to march headlong. It's going to incorporate more and more in its dragnet. Jesus talked about that in one of his parables. And I think it's going to march right into the tribulation and be part of the one world religion and the Antichrist system that the Antichrist is going to use until it's no longer useful. So that's my take.
Ichabod, we spoke about that on Friday. Ichabod meaning that the spirit has departed. And I was really tempted today, Pastor Mike. I was digging through my stuff. I'm going to do a show later on this week, I think, on the Holy Spirit. Because, listen, guys, here's what's happened to us. The Holy Spirit is not in most churches because of two things. Number one, we have so made the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so much about tongues and so much about visible power of God that it's become almost otherworldly and almost of no earthly use. I've been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was born again, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those were two different processes for me. And I know this, Pastor Mike, that I come across many people who've been born again, but I can tell you this, brother, they have not received the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you, Pastor Mike? They're born again, but they have not received the Holy Spirit.
Well, and if you study through the book of Acts, folks, you'll find this occurrence a number of times. It's in the book of Mark as well, where being born again, and we all Orthodox Christians believe that the Holy Spirit indwells a believer when they believe.
Amen. Amen. Faith,
trust in Christ, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about something entirely different here.
You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall become witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, to the other most parts of the world. If you are having trouble being a witness to Christ, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you, I cannot stop myself. It's what did Paul say? It'd be like fire caught up in your bones. And the people that I come in contact with who are so sheepish and scared, I say they've not received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's not, in my mind, it ain't about speaking in tongues. It ain't about the prosperity gospel. It's about not about laying hands on people and seeing them get healthy. All that stuff's part of it, but that is not the gospel. And the speaking in tongues isn't the whole gospel. We talked about it the other day. We like to take certain aspects of the gospel and make that the gospel.
Yeah.
It's a full counsel of God. Mike, I can't believe an hour's gone already.
I know. It went pretty fast, Coach.
I appreciate you coming on just so that I want people to know that I got a lot of pastor friends in my life that I respect and that you're one of them. And when I start beating on the church and beating on the pastors, I don't include Pastor Mike Spaulding. And Pastor Wayne and Pastor Bill, I could go on and on and on with a lot of them. So if I got some paint on your face there, Mike, I apologize. Go get a little gasoline and wipe it off. You'd be all right.
No, sir. Nope. Didn't think that at all. Love you, Coach. Appreciate what you're doing.
I used to tell our football guys at halftime when I'd go into one of my rants and start calling them a bunch of sissies. I said, listen, if you're not a sissy, don't worry about it. All right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
If the shoe fits, then either get a new shoe or wear the one you got. And if you don't have the power of God behind you, you better check out something inside of you. That's all I'd say. God bless you, Pastor Mike. Amen. Guys, girls, good to see you today. We'll be here tomorrow. Hey, Russ Dizdar will be with us tomorrow. Never a dull day here at Coach Dave Live. God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.